Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Good afternoon, everybody. I get applause too. You're the one who should get applause for actually getting us back on.
I think so. Somebody needs some applause.
Somebody needs applause today. So basically, we are not going to be on camera today. We are going to be just audio. We have a gentleman calling in from Colorado by the name of Greg Aiden. And if you guys have been following the show and the other show, Check Out California, that I co-host with Craig Sullivan, you would have heard Greg on that show a few months ago. Also, I had the privilege of actually being a guest on Greg's show or his podcast, and that, I believe, is something that's going to be dropping here in a couple of weeks. So I just had such a good conversation with Greg. I thought I definitely wanted to have Greg on my show as well. Greg, are you there?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Live and in color.
Live and in color, even though we're not on camera. But he is actually a very lively person and very colorful, so I think that's going to come across on the audio on its own anyway. So where are you calling from, Greg, just so people get a sense of where you're calling us from?
I'm in my home in Inglewood, which is a suburb of Denver.
Very cool. And have you been a long resident of Colorado?
I actually went to college here back in the 80s, and now I've been a resident ever since 2010.
Oh, very cool. So where were you before that?
Prior to that, I was in Texas for 17 years, and then I was in Palm Springs, California for four,
yeah.
Vail, Colorado for a year, and then Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri for a bit.
Yeah, and the reason why I'm asking this question is not just because I'm nosy, which I am, but I also wanted to paint a picture a little bit. You know, you've been around a little bit, and it really speaks to what you had done previously as a career path, right? You used to work in hospitality. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and give people a little bit of background, Greg. Let's just paint a little bit of background for them. Like, what did you do in hospitality?
Great question. Really about 30 years of hospitality, 8 years with Marriott Hotels and Resorts on property. I would help book conventions and conferences into the resorts I was representing. I was a professional meeting planner, so that had some hospitality in it, as well as I was helping build a financial services company. But 16 and a half years, Rod, was with IHG, or Intercontinental Hotels Group, where mm-hmm. I was involved in franchise sales and development. And so 13 years of the 16, I was a regional director for five brands in two states, and then I was a vice president leading a team of seven people, five brands in 24 states.
Well, which explains, I mean, that's a lot of territory. It's a lot of responsibility. So, that's a long track record of doing that, for sure. What made you leave that?
It's the best question. That's my favorite question, because it took me from being a hospitality / development / salesperson to being a leadership coach. And that transition happened when I left Texas to move to Denver to get married and start a family. But she already had a daughter, and I thought, okay, this is going to be great. The three of us will grow old together, and that would be it.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, being a stepdad was just perfect. But the short version is, she was an A-type, I was an A-type. You get both of us together, and before you know it, we were trying to get pregnant. We were also trying to adopt a little guy from Russia. Bore you with all the details, but we ultimately ended up adopting Igor, or now Jackson, from Russia. During that process, we ended up getting pregnant. I was training to climb a tall mountain in called Aconcagua in Argentina, and all that was happening.
But you really don't lead a very slow life, do you?
No, and it, you know, it's we can laugh now, but I I wasn't laughing at the time. And to answer your question, that's exactly what happened. I was 18,000 feet up the mountain, Rod, and I realized that there was more to life than buying and selling franchises and helping other people make lots of money. And meanwhile, I was halfway around the world with a pregnant wife and a newly adopted son at home. And that was either the bottom or the top of my decision. And I came back. I pretended to live a clear and honest purpose around family. But meanwhile, a couple more years went by, and I realized that I needed to leave IHG. And throughout the process, the marriage also dissolved, and I focused my time that I didn't have with my boys on becoming a leadership coach. And I established Aiden Leadership about 5 years ago.
Well, and just before we leave that whole hospitality, or I mean, that's not really limited to that industry, but when you're operating or you're playing at that level in a corporate environment, give people an idea of how many hours a day you were basically engaged in that. Because we talk about balance and we thought, it's achievable. But I mean, there's only so many hours. The commodity of time is not endless. How many hours a day did you engage in that career path?
Well,
on average.
Yeah, I would say easy 65, 70 hours a week. And the hours per week depended on whether I was traveling or I was at home. And that was not sustainable with a new relationship, a new marriage, and two little ones. And again, I would love to tell you I was smart enough to figure all this out on my own. It didn't take a trip up a mountain for me to pull my head out of my arse, but it did. And you know, you mentioned the word balance, and I now coach people to find balance in life, not between work and life, but just to find balance. Because I know what it's like to be completely out of balance.
Yeah, and you and I talked about this a lot because I mean we were basically involved in the hospitality industry from different perspectives, but 65 hours a week is not an unusual reality, especially if you're traveling. I mean, there are weeks where it almost felt like you were not working, you were deployed. I mean, I'm not taking away anything from a military and the risk that's involved in being deployed, but it almost felt like you would be deployed. Like you'd get a call on Monday that by Wednesday you're going to be on a plane and basically gone for a week. And that's the nature of this industry, this hospitality industry, which we love because of the variety and variedness, but it definitely does take a toll. And it does require a certain amount of discipline to find that whatever that balance is for people. Many times have I heard people that have been at it for a long time saying, oh, you know what, it's a younger man's game or a younger person's game. So you literally are saying that you kind of hit a bottom at the top of a mountain.
Yeah, and it was at the top of my earning career, but it's in terms of a priority.
Yeah.
You know, I had said in front of God and everybody that this person was going to be my priority, and whatever we created was as well. And not to get into that, but towards the focus of balance and my drive into what wanted me and created an opportunity for me to get into leadership was I was studying leadership my entire life and through my entire career. The companies that I would sell to, the companies I was employed by, the companies we did business with, I always had a keen eye on who's showing up as a leader versus who's showing up as a manager, especially in the hospitality industry. And frankly, I saw a void of true leadership, and I saw an opportunity to serve that industry that I knew very well.
Well, so talk about that void, okay? You know, void of leadership. What do you mean by that exactly?
Well, first of all, there's a huge gap between management and leadership. And in the hospitality industry, there's a lot of managers who believe they're, or want to believe they're leaders, and they're just not. So they manage people and manage process as well. And leadership, for those of you out there who are nodding their head, you know, leaders don't lead, or managers don't manage people. Leaders lead people, and we lead people because there's followers that want to be led, and managers don't get that. And the ones that act like they're leaders are even worse. than people who just don't understand leadership at all. So the void was the gap between management and leadership, and certainly the people who would lead you how.
So for those who are sitting in those management positions saying, what are you talking about? I'm a leader. What do you say to those people that maybe helps them understand the difference that you are referring to?
Well, first of all, it's not my philosophy. It's pretty well documented in dozens and dozens of leadership books. Management used to be something that everybody aspired to be in. And I say everyone as in everyone that I knew going to school and coming out of school and going right into, you know, Marriott hospitality, for instance.
Which let's just for those who are not familiar with the industry, that is not only a major player, that is a very organized, multi-level, multi-brand. I mean, it's a juggernaut of an organization.
Absolutely. Yeah, at the Marriott hotels and resorts had, I don't know how many thousands of properties, but I worked for the management organization.
Right.
We managed the resorts. And so that by title was, you know, the management company was the group that ran the assets, the mm-hmm. resorts and hotels. But back to your question, if you're aspiring to be a manager by title is one thing. Wanting to lead human beings, whole nother ballgame. And the void, to answer your initial question, is the ability to inspire and impact and influence people mm-hmm. is when you are a leader. Those are principles and traits and qualities of a leader. A manager, for the most part, manages a process.
Right.
And people are involved, but you lead them, and it's just so much different than being a manager.
One is a process. One is more, you know, requires a little bit of empowerment, requires more trust and room for people to either make their own mistakes or to get there. But yes, absolutely. You don't, you know, I'm always reminded by this that little meme that I see going around every once in a while on social media, where they have, you know, a guy standing on top of a block of stone as people are moving it towards a pyramid, and that person is a manager. And then the one underneath it is where the guy is basically, that same character is actually right in the group of people that are pulling the stone, and that's the leader. Like it's sometimes it's as simple as that. It's one is managing a process, the other one is engaged in empowering.
Yeah, let me expand on that example.
Please.
Right there. First of all, managers typically tell someone what to do.
Yep.
Command, control, and especially from the industry that I came from, I don't mind telling you, there's a lot of my way or the highway.
Right.
A lot of ego, a lot of fear-based. I used to be managed this way, so I'm going to manage people this way.
Yep.
And it's just old, old school. And leadership, at least the focus that I have in leadership, which is servant leadership, is you serve others first and then lead them. So it's
yep.
a completely different way of going about it. And as you and I have talked about in various conversations, Rod, I will say that the relationship with the follower is more important than the task at hand. We know, we trust the task will get done, the process will be completed, the customers will be served, the rooms will be cleaned, but the relationship between leader and follower is the key to leadership.
Well, there you go throwing that word in again, right? Relationship. And we talked about that, like stuff being transactional versus relational. And you're right, that's actually a very good way to look at it, is leadership is relationship building. It's not necessarily task-oriented achieving only. I mean, that's part of it, I would say. So let me give people the, or I'll let you do that. Why don't you give people the website for your company so that they can follow up? Because I think it's a really good website. There's a lot of information on your website.
It's Aiden, A-D-E-N, leadership.com.
Tell people a little bit about your process. Like, how do people find you? How do you initiate that sort of due diligence or maybe fact, you know, data collecting part of the process when somebody reaches out to you? Are there some repetitive reasons why people seem to reach out to you that that you have found over the years are commonplace, like either people are struggling with certain things or they're facing certain challenges? Share some of that, please, Greg.
The clients I work with today, and almost 90% of all of them I've served since I started Aiden Leadership, have had some sort of an experience with me. They know of me. They know of my character. They know I'm challenging, but in a loving way. And they most everybody that I've worked with, including my current cast of clients, want to do the work. And that's the distinction between why someone might hire me versus a life coach. I'm a leadership coach. I'm in executive development. How you find me is if someone knows of me and says, you know, I know this guy you might want to get a hold of. Mm-hmm. I believe he can help you, your team, and or your organization get to the place they want to go relative to the development of leaders. That's one way. Another way is, LinkedIn seems to be a goldmine for me as I contribute to a lot of groups in mm-hmm. human resources and training, leadership development, and just by sharing my opinion of stories and articles, people seem to resonate with the words. And to me, answering your question more thoroughly, is I focus, Rod, on language, behavior, and relationships. All under the umbrella of leadership development.
Well, and there's a comment. There's a word that appears over and over and over on your website, which I think is very important to bring up, and it's one that you and I probably really like and have an affinity to, is the word authenticity.
Yeah.
And you know, we had a gentleman on last week, Ken Kladaris, who basically used the word intentional. He was very intentional. And so intentionality and authenticity, it's very interesting because a lot of people throw the word authenticity around. I think it's funny when you listen to what words actually start to become more common in culture. I think there's a part of it, it almost seems like a scream out in the wilderness, like I'm so hungry for authenticity, I'm going to start using it more and more until it manifests itself, you know? But when you start looking at what it requires, authenticity, I think, I don't know if you would agree with me, Greg, requires courage.
Yes, and the irony of the timing of this interview, this radio show opportunity with you, Rod, and what I experienced this morning is the question that after we introduced ourselves in this organization I'm involved with, what is one word your peers would use to describe you? And after I gave my little elevator quip, which we do, you know, every other Wednesday with this group, I looked out to my peers and I said, I'm not sure exactly which word they picked. And immediately after I said that, a gentleman that I have worked with in the past said, authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me smile inside and out because I ask my clients to show up, just be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's focus on who you want to become by doing the work.
But that requires courage, man. I mean, there's a lot of people walking around with masks. There were a lot of people walking around with expectations that have been adapted or thing. It's really funny. I mean, you know, we throw the word authentic around. We talk about being yourself. It's a culture, just normally the United States is a culture of, you know, that's championing individuality and you know, sort of rugged individualism, and not to basically start going down the path of, you know, an Ayn Rand advocate. But the bottom line is, it really is a bit of a farce, because to be genuinely authentic is not only to be in my mind courageous, but it's also to be vulnerable.
Bingo. Yeah, and if you're on the site, if anyone listening gets to the site, you'll also realize that my five principles are integrity, accountability, courage, passion, and humility. And most people, Rod, that I work with, most leaders, even if they're the great ones, just ask them, they struggle with courage and humility. Everyone wants to say, I'm integral. Terrific. everyone wants to say, of course I'm accountable. They don't want to be held accountable.
Yeah.
But they will say they're, but it's courage. And as you and I have addressed, and I will throw this out to the listeners, is ask yourselves the last time that you've really had a courageous conversation with another human being, mm-hmm. where both of you were being authentic and real with your word throughout the entire conversation.
Regardless where it went, regardless what revelation occurred, regardless of what aha moment, that you did not crawl back behind some sort of protective barrier because you felt exposed. You know, I find it very, I don't know if you meant it on purpose. You probably did because you're very intentional. But, and he's laughing. I know, okay, he knows where I'm going with this. But, you know, when you click on AidenLeadership.com and you go under services, here's a picture of Mr. Greg Aiden, you know, his arms stretched out 90 degrees left and right, and he's holding, and it's kind of very, very poignant, the two pillars, okay, of his pillars. And one of them says courage, and the other one says humility. And you're sort of in between courage and humility.
Yes. And I chose those two out of my five because I want people to know I am a human being first. I am a man first. I too struggle with being humble. I too struggle with speaking courageously all the time.
Right.
And it's work. But gosh darn it, Rod, that's where the juice is. When people decide they want to make a shift in their relationships, they will change their language, they will change their behavior.
Yep.
And as far as leaders go, if you show up that way, and this is the key to everything that I do, if you show up, meaning if you lead by example with integrity, accountability, and you're courageous with your word, and you're passionate about the vision of you and your team and your organization, and you show up humble, meaning you have humility and empathy for other human beings first. As I mentioned, serve another human being before you lead them. That's almost impossible for people to even consider because they're so focused on the task and getting shit done. Excuse me, getting stuff done.
That's all right. You can say shit. It's fine. It's fine.
Okay.
Sometimes we got to be authentic like that.
Well, I remind people all the time that it's not easy, but please own your stuff. That's really part.
You know, I'm gonna share with you something, Greg, because you just shared something that happened with you today. I'll share with you something yesterday, and it's an interesting thing. That space between courage and humility sometimes is really where the rubber meets the road, right? And you know, to be grateful enough to be aware most of the time. And yeah, we all struggle. I mean, you know, you just struggled using the word, whether you should or use the word shit or not, and it came out, and then you basically try to retract it. And I'm like, no, leave it out there. So I had an experience yesterday. We had a client meeting. We've been waiting to have this client meeting for a couple of weeks. We had a client meeting. I had my associate with me. And the course of what usually happens in a creative, you know, meeting or a design meeting is we are in a very collaborative manner with the client. That's our style. We're very much relational, if you will. And we're talking about a particular solution to an office layout where she is. And I proposed that we do something. I asked her that, could we maybe reallocate the furnishings to allow for this additional piece of furniture she wants to put in by doing X, just to see if the orientation that she is now accustomed to, if it changes, will that be a bother? And she's like, no, you know, that's why I hired you guys. You know, you got to, you know, you tell me what you think I should do. And in the midst of that, in a moment of enthusiasm and sort of thinking out loud, my associate who was with me was trying to propose another alternative to what I had just stated. And I basically, not being malicious or even being even aware of it, I actually kind of said openly in front of the client, no, I don't think that's going to work. I think we should, you know, there will be not enough room for what we're trying to do. And I kind of threw a little cold water on my associate, who's younger, who's you know, not as you know, experienced in the field, doesn't have as many years involved in doing this. And we then, after the meeting was over, the client was oblivious to that interaction. But when And I was kind of got a twinge when after I did it, but I kind of let, you know, we got caught up in the conversation. We just went on. Well, we then went and grabbed lunch, my associate and I. And at the lunch, as we were sitting there, very casually, very much in a relaxed manner, she mentions that to me, like more from a concern point of would the client in those circumstances may have looked at us as being sort of a little bit disconnected as a team. And I actually kind of apologized, but I said, you know what, I could have handled it differently. And it became actually a moment of learning for both of us. Like, we actually had a healthy discussion about it from the prospect of how to better address a situation like that. And I really walked away from that lunch feeling really good on one level, most of all, which is that I was fostering an environment in my work environment with people that are working with me, not under me, but with me, that allowed them enough comfort to actually express themselves like that. And to be honest with you, that was a very small part of my day, but that really resonated with me to where it occupied a bunch of conversations later on that yesterday evening. It has come up again with me this morning, and here we are doing it again. It's very interesting to be in that space where you have the courage to basically own your space and the humility to also learn.
Bingo. And so a lot of things are floating around in terms of, I know, first of all, what a great awareness you had. A lot of people won't take the time or allow the feeling to even be aware of what's going around around them. Secondly, the relationship, in my opinion, must be very important to you, or you wouldn't have put any more time or effort into it. You could have hid. You could have said, well, I'm the senior.
Yeah.
This is my call. You shouldn't speak it like this. But no, you allowed, based on your awareness, to improve the relationship through communication. And that whole process seems to be like just a ton of work. But the more we do it, Rod, the more we allow ourselves to be real and authentic in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not in the moment, but if it's soon after, hey Rod, I said something on your show yesterday. I wanted to clean it up with you, and you know I'm sorry I said this or anything.
Right.
It's okay to pick up the phone as a man or a woman and a leader as a professional and say, I'm sorry. I could have handled that different.
Mm-hmm.
The person that you're speaking with, be it a peer, your boss, or God forbid, you're speaking candidly and with humility to your followers,
mm-hmm.
they now look at you as this man, this woman is a human being first, mm-hmm. not just a leader.
No, and I'll tell you, I mean, this is just for my own sense. I was very grateful that not only was I aware of this, but that I had enough of a developed sense that I was aware of it almost immediately. So it wasn't something that I reflected on, you know, when I had some time at the end of the week or something like that. And to your point, I think the more that you allow yourself to live in that space, to exist in that space, the more it becomes a muscle that you basically have that is engaged and, you know, fit, if you will, in shape. And it is a pretty interesting awareness when you get to the point where something is happening and you're actually able to see it or be aware of it in real time.
Well, you used the word healthy earlier, and then you just said fit, in shape, muscle. It
yep.
is exactly the same way. If you go to the gym every 2 weeks and work 4 hours,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to change. But
right.
if you do little things, 25, 30 minutes a day, on your body, you eat healthy, you can significantly change the way you look and feel and the look in your eyes, etc. It's the same thing with our language and behavior.
Mm-hmm.
If we spend time on it, we're aware of it, and we actually want to make shifts so our relationships are more healthy and in better, we will. And then it becomes habitual. It becomes this who we be.
Well, you and I have laughed about awareness. It's one of those things where when you click over and you have that awareness, it's almost like somebody turns the light on. You know, it's always, there's often being referred to as, oh, somebody, you know, the light is on. Somebody can see now, right? And we've joked about how once the light is on and somebody kind of like find the switch in your proverbial room and turn the switch on and the light is on now, you have moments maybe that it's like it's too much brightness and you wish you could just have a moment of ignorance where you didn't really basically were subject to such constant input and awareness, and you go looking around the room for that switch and somebody basically has muddied it over and you can't find it anymore.
What I do is I ask people, do you want to find the light switch?
Ah.
Do you want to be a better leader?
Yeah.
Do you want to have better relationships? And then I ask, it's in my website, what do you want? But the second question is, what are you willing to do to get there?
Mm-hmm.
So I show people where the light switch is, approximately. Up to them to turn it on, keep it on, build other lights, and build larger lamps, or whatever they want to do relative to illumination and bringing more awareness of who you could be if you want to. And I also ask them, are you willing to find out how you occur to other people?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know. Well, how do you know? I'm not talking about an exhaustive 360 or Myers-Briggs and DISC and all that. That's fun. That's great. I just want people to ask other people in a real conversation, how do I occur? And just listen. And if those people love you and they trust you and they want you to be a better leader, a better mom, a better dad, a better human being, guess what? Through real conversation, they'll tell you how you occur. And you just sit there and listen and absorb, and then you thank them, and then you go to the next person. That's how leaders can grow in the moment for the people that they're actually following. It's the most powerful thing I can recommend.
Well, anybody who's joining us maybe later on in the show here, I just want to, again, give the website, AidenLeadership.com. Go check it out. Greg Aiden is my guest on the show today. And I want to ask you, is there a common, like, not common, okay? Because I think everybody's journey, everybody's struggle has its own personal, you know, kind of, there's a certain amount of honoring each individual person's struggle and journey or whatever their journey is through life. But are there things that you come across that seem to be common, triggers, common things like milestones in people's lives, challenges? We're talking about this in terms of, you know, leadership and maybe a little bit too much of a corporate kind of overtones to this conversation, but it really comes down to a relationship skill development, correct?
Yep. Easy question.
Yep.
What I see most often is a leader will be integral at work, and then he or she gets out of integrity at home. And or vice versa.
And expand on that a little bit, would you, Greg?
Right. So integrity to me is simple. It is I am my word, period. You say what you mean, you do what you say, and if you can't do what you said you were going to do, and no one's clean all the time, then clean it up as quickly as you can. And by that I mean if you're going to be late, you're not going to honor your word relative to a deadline, You didn't show up the way you were going to show up as far as prepared. You don't fake it and pretend that no one notices. So it's easy for us to be clean and perfect at work, and then we come home and we just...
And I agree with you 100%. Why do you think that's such a common ailment?
That one's easy too. Is because we are providing for the family, so we put everything we have into being a great leader at work, but we forget the most important leadership position in the entire world is being a parent, being patient and present to the children that you've decided to raise, you've decided to have, or you've decided to adopt or be a stepfather or stepmother.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that you may be speaking from personal experience on that one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I've learned more about leadership class, any certification than I've acquired.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I get a little emotional about this, not emotional, probably more intense, is because when I coach people and I listen for where they're leaking, they will almost say, yeah, I wish I was like this at home. Well, you wish in one hand and you know what in the other. Well, sir, ma'am, why aren't you? Well, then they give you all these reasons as to the kids, the spouse, the demands, and I'm like, are you talking about life?
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about just life? That's not going away. The job is easy compared to the real life,
mm-hmm.
because it's literally a game that we've chosen to be in, and we have a title that we've earned. We have a title we're moving towards. But at the end of the day, for most of us, you can turn the light off and go home and serve, guide, and lead the most important people in your world.
It also comes with a law book, right? I mean, when you work, you can argue that over time you develop skills, you pick up habits, you pick up sort of, you know, appropriate behavior, inappropriate behavior. There's a more immediate impact to, you know, cause and effect in situations. And then when it comes to personal stuff, we tend to basically just put that on the back burner. And it's interesting that is what you're talking about here, because I agree. I think most people conduct themselves in the professional environment in a way that does not carry over sometimes in their personal relationship, which are actually more critical.
Right. You watch a man or a woman through the course of their career, and they let themselves go physically because they're so, quote-unquote, committed to their job.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the spouse at home saying, honey, where is the person? Where is the partner for the parenting of our children?
Mm-hmm.
And there's hundreds of thousands of people out there right now going, yep, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
But those are also choices. A big part of my work, Rod, is to ask people, not only what are you willing to do, but what choices are you going to make along the road? And people say, well, I will shift as soon as, well, I will do that as soon as, and I ask, what are you waiting for?
Okay, so let's switch this conversation just a little bit as we come to an end of the show. And I want to just focus it a little bit, because we've been talking about work environment, we've been talking about personal relationship, we've been talking about, you know, maybe spousal relationships, children, parents, dynamics. But let's talk for a minute about, since the show is at one point started out being sort of a baby boomer show, let's talk about this in relevance to what, because you just touched on something that I think is very much at the core of this next part. What about those who basically are looking at retirement or looking at, call it, a latter part of their life, where society is telling them, okay, great, you've done your work now. You know, you're now basically, I don't know, over 65 maybe. Maybe you're able to retire, maybe you're not. Maybe you're losing your job because, you know, they're hiring two younger people for the same amount of money that
sure.
they're paying you. How does this that we're talking about, you know, resonate or reflect and echo into the life of somebody in that part of their life?
First thing I would respond with is remain young, remain curious, remain fun. Life is what it is, and we all have a different perspective based on how we were raised and the whatever we put ourselves through. But as you're getting ready to enjoy sunsets that you've never even seen, just stay curious, young, and have fun. And my opinion is also stay useful, stay living with a purpose. And if that purpose is sharing wisdom voluntarily with a school or an organization, or writing a blog or whatever, to write a book, write a blog, write articles, but stay useful. Find out what it is your purpose is for the next 4, 5, 8 chapters of your life. And the last thing I would say is have fun and stay young with your partner. If it's a new one, it's a new one. If it's the same one for 50 years, it's the same one. I don't know. I'm not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I see so many beautiful, alive, older people who are living life with their purpose. It could be their second or third purpose. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But you can just tell the couples that are still enjoying life. They're staying young. I'm not saying they're trying to look young. They're just having fun and staying curious, because that's what we did. We were simple and innocent. So just be innocent and curious again. Frankly, that's what I do every day.
You know, Greg, I was having a conversation a few weeks ago, and we were talking about this dynamic. And it was in terms of personal relationships as well as, you know, lifetime relationships as well as work, like what, you know, your purpose, like you're talking about. I was reminded by something that Professor Peter Drucker, may he rest in peace, at the Claremont Graduate School said one time in a session that I was part of. I went to Claremont Graduate School for a master's degree in the mid-80s. Boy, am I just aging myself here. But basically, the conversation was relevant to how many careers a person has. And we live in a society that tries to get you to do the right thing, get on the right path, make the right decisions so that you basically are now covered, you're safe, you're going to minimize the challenges in your life. If you make the right decision, what school to go to, if you make the right decision, what company to go work for, if you make the right decision, who you marry, if you make the right decision, where you're going to live, what school your kids go to, then you're pretty much like on this programmed, you know, like just paint by numbers life. And in some cases, there's certain truth to that it works. Maybe a stronger likelihood that you will reach some sort of outcome, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's your authentic purpose. It doesn't mean that it's your own space. It's your own vibration, right? But we do this. We do this to people. And it was interesting, relevant to as you get older, because I'm 54. I'm not getting any younger. And, you know, I do a show every week about, you know, life challenges and as Paul dubbed me a while back, age exploring. So whether I like it or not, I'm in that cockpit going full speed ahead towards, you know, higher numbers and higher years. And sure. One of the conversations was in terms of the word growth. Grow. Just grow. Okay?
Yeah.
We have this thing where we program that a measure of success, like if somebody says to you, how would you measure success in, like, let's say your personal relationship or your work relationship, okay? Especially when it comes to personal relationships, is that we grow together, like grow old together is usually what you hear. Oh, I'm looking forward to growing old together. And I listened to that, and I was talking to somebody, and somebody just interjected in part of the conversation. They just interjected and said, well, I don't agree. And I said, well, what do you mean? That's just what most people say. They'll say, we grow old together. And that's sort of the gracefully growing old together. And he said, no, take the word old out of it. What it should be is that the benchmark for them in terms of a healthy relationship was that where they were growing together. Not growing old together, but growing together, okay? And that echoes, in my mind, what you just said, where you continue to, not necessarily reinvent, but you continue to calibrate, you continue to tweak, you continue to fine-tune your purpose and your guiding star, if you will. And it's okay that it is not the same as it was when you were 42, when you're 65. But I thought that was very powerful. You know, words. I'm a big fan of genuine, you know, usage of language. And when they said it's not about growing old together, it's about growing together.
Love it.
Yeah,
love it. And you know, just continue to ask yourself, why? Why are you here? What do you want to do? And let's appreciate yesterday, but let's focus on tomorrow, because before you know it, tomorrow will be here.
Yep.
And less people, honestly, and I mean this sincerely, not a lot of people really care about what you did, unless you're using a story for an analogy.
Right.
It's interesting, but the people that are walking around that have literally reshaped the face of this country and many others have so much wisdom to share. And I hope anybody that's younger than 50, maybe in their 20s and 30s, mm-hmm. when you see somebody mm-hmm. that you know is alive and wise, ask them questions. Learn something as you're walking across the street with someone. Mm-hmm. Ask somebody that's in their older years if you can buy them a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And just sit down and ask questions. You'll learn more in those moments. Will from any book you've read, almost guaranteed. And it's fun. and they will just light up because someone finds them interesting and important and wise, and they are.
Well, and we live in a world. I mean, the reality of the situation. We did a show a while back where we had somebody in here who was talking about the aging of the population. Right. I live in a part of the country where no, it's not Florida, but it has the largest per capita of seniors in the country, and the largest concentration within this county of Orange County is actually in South County. This gentleman basically was Steve. It was. Is the head of an agency called AgeWell that does a lot of Meals on Wheels, and Senior Serve is another agency that's in our area. But they handle something like 32 probably senior centers. Okay, they feed God knows how many thousands of meals every day to seniors. They take it to their home, and we were talking about this. We're talking about this aging situation and how we live in a society that basically has somehow along the way lost its ability to evaluate the value, the seasoning, the resource that we have in people that are maybe older. In a pursuit of youth, we have basically abandoned that. So to your point, yes, there's a lot of experience. There's a lot of authenticity, connecting with some of the people that are around you. Your own personal growth sometimes is accidental, and you don't really know where it's coming from, and then you'll have a conversation with somebody that you barely know, and you're like, oh my God, my life has just basically completely changed because I now am able to see things through somebody else's eyes, and what a blessing that is in helping me recraft my life or adjust or get over a hurdle or a problem or a challenge. I mean, we have become these entities that basically live in the bubble of our car, the bubble of our cubicle, the bubble of our social media bubble, right? And then basically have stopped engaging. But we're connected. We're in connection with everybody, but are we really have a depth of connection with people? No.
That connection versus being connected is a whole other conversation. But I want to leave you on, from at least my side, with two things. One is the desire to reach out to another human being and ask a question will actually help you become a better leader. It'll help you become a better communicator, and it's free. There's no risk involved other than the other person that you're asking questions to. Not right now. You, because most people that have something to share want to share. People want to talk about themselves more than any other topic, and that's where the stories are. That's where the juice is. And for anybody that's involved in sports, if you're following this season of football, which is the voluntary workouts and then soon summer, you cannot read an article of someone who's just joining the league without some reference to the veterans are helping me along. I'm so glad this receiver with 8 years of experience is on the team showing me the ropes. That's exactly what we're talking about. Yes, you can say, well, you're forced into a situation because you're in an organization. No, you can choose to be standoffish, or you can choose to be intelligent and go seek wisdom from people that have lived in this league or in this life for years and years. You may not appreciate everything they're going to tell you because it sounds like hard work, but appreciate from where they're coming from. The perspective is gold.
Well, you know what, my friend, I appreciate where you're coming from, and anybody who's been listening to this show would probably know that you and I could probably have this conversation just roll on and on and on, but just like life is, it's always every day is an opportunity to learn, every day is an opportunity to grow. You know, those pillars are very important, so please, Greg, go ahead and give those pillars again.
Leadership for me include integrity, accountability, courage, passion, and humility.
So, and the one that we couldn't hear was courage. Courage, compassion, and humility. And
yeah, it's integrity, accountability, courage, passion, and humility, yes.
And those who are listening to the show, please go to adenleadership.com. That's adenleadership.com. Find out more about Greg. Find out more about what his services are. But genuinely, like, I think more important for me here than just highlighting another fellow you know, professional who is basically working out there that has a background in hospitality, just like I do. The more important thing that to be taken from this show is just genuinely this authenticity. I mean, don't just throw the word around. Mm-mm. Really, really, really dare to be, dare to live it, because I'll be the first to tell you, it ain't easy. It requires courage, and it requires vulnerability, but the rewards, and call it rewards to yourself first and everybody around you, are immeasurable. So dare to live courageously. Dare to have courageous conversations. We try to do that on this show from day one, and continue to do that. In fact, I feel so strongly about it when I formed my production company, Golden Seal Productions, which is goldensealproductions.com. I made that one of my pillars, is courageous conversation. So, I feel really strongly about it, because this show, this Doing the Rad Life for 4 years, actually opened an opportunity for me. I didn't go seeking it out, but it opened an opportunity for me to actually engage in that, and to do so with people that I don't really see every day, and have them come in and we talk about stuff that isn't necessarily the easiest. But having those conversations are super important. You do it in the realm of helping people, you know, in a corporate leadership environment or their personal challenges. We do it here on the air every week on The Rad Life. The important commonality is a courageous conversation.
Yes. Yeah, and it isn't easy. But as you all know, and Rod, you and I have spoken about it, hard work is the basic of everything that's important to you.
Yeah.
If it comes too easy, you don't appreciate it. It's just a fact. It won't change regardless of what generation you were born into. We're not meant to be on this earth to just wake up and have and hold our hands out and let stuff fall into it. It's getting our fingers dirty. It's working our bodies. It's eating things we're not comfortable with. And that means humility and everything else we've discussed. But hard work is the basic of everything that will mean anybody over any length of time. So,
I appreciate you, my friend. I really do. And thank you for taking the time to be on the air today.
My pleasure. Enjoyed it very much. Thank you, Rob.
You are welcome back anytime. Everybody, again, Greg Aden was my guest today on The Rad Life, and his website is adenleadership.com. I hope you guys go check it out. And whatever you do, don't ever stop having courageous conversations. We'll see you next week.
You have been listening to The Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only octalkradio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.